You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Clement Magnatella
on 702.
Let's walk the talk on 92.7
and 106 FM.
Minutes after 9 o'clock. Dumelang, welcome to the show. It's Tuesday, the 25th of Jan. That's payday for some of you who are lucky to have a job. It's been a long month, ne? I'm sure you woke up at 5 a.m. to check that SMS just to confirm that it's reflected. How are you feeling on this payday? Look, I'm glad that you're with us here on 702. It's always a pleasure to be in your company. We don't take that for granted. So what do you want to talk about on the 702 open line today? Yesterday, what dominated the open line was the conversation about the filthy city of Johannesburg and how terrible the roads are. So what are we discussing today? 011-883-0702. That's the number to dial on the open line. 072-702-1702 for your voice notes and 31702 for those SMSs.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
Let's go straight to your calls. Becky, you're calling from Soweto. Good morning.
Morning, Clement. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. No, I wanted to talk about the issue we spoke about last week about the Marvin Derek issue.
Yes.
Yes. But you see, Mina, here's my problem, Clement. I think we need to quickly realize as a people that we don't have a Cyril problem or a Zuma problem. We have an ANC problem here. Because the ANC is starting to do the same thing they did with Nkandla, where they protect the president from accountability. And that's a huge problem. Because if you listen to what Marvin Derk is saying, he's not saying that the president is guilty, nor is he saying that the president is wrong. He's just saying, tell us the names of the people that used state funds so that we can get those people to account. And I think any South African should be actually looking forward to that, to say, President, please tell us who are these people that are using state funds for party political campaigns,
yeah,
so that these people can account. We're not saying you are wrong, but we're saying these people must account because this must stop. Because if we don't stop it now, when? When do we stop it? Because it's going to happen in the next conference.
Yeah.
It's going to happen in the next 5 years also. You understand? When does it stop?
Yeah. In fact, thank you for raising it, Becky. I want to put it out to the listeners, but I want to first just explain and give the context, because some listeners may not be aware of what you're talking about, Becky. So there's this ANC member of parliament, Marvin Derk, who was suspended by the ANC chief whip, Pemi Majondina, after he wrote to SCOPA asking them to summon President Cyril Ramaphosa to come and explain what he knows about the misuse of public funds for party political activities. And this is in relation to this leaked recording of the ANC-NEC meeting, which emerged towards the end of last year, in which President Cyril Ramaphosa could be heard saying some problematic things. In fact, take a listen to that clip.
Investigations will reveal that a lot of money, of public money, was used. And I said in this case, I am prepared to fall on the sword so that the CR17 campaign, yes, should be the only one that's looked at, and not the others. Because the image of the African National Congress is what I am most concerned about. Each one of us knows that quite a bit of money that is used in campaigns, in buzzing people around, in doing all manner of things, is often from state resources and public resources. And we cannot kid ourselves when it comes to that. One of the officials said, you know, as these people from the state security were testifying, one of the officials said, soon they will be revealing about how money from the SSA was used for some campaigns. And I said, heaven forbid. I would rather they say, yes, you got money from this businessman for CR17, than for the public to finally hear that their money, public money, was used finance certain campaigns.
Sure. Yeah. That is so problematic on many levels. So that's what Mervyn Dex wanted Parliament to do. He asked Parliament to ask the president to come and answer what he knew about public money being spent on ANC activities. The ANC asked him to withdraw that letter and he refused, so he was suspended. He has now decided to approach the High Court in Cape Town in a bid to be reinstated to his position in Parliament. I also saw that the Standing Committee on Public Accounts will today hold discussions on the letter that he submitted. The problem here, though, is that the ANC is taking action against its MP, who's trying to get an arm of Parliament to exercise its constitutional duty to hold the executive accountable. And he got suspended for that. Whatever his ulterior motives are, right? It can be factionalist motives. He can't be targeted, surely, for merely asking for the executive to be held accountable. If his letter is in breach of some parliamentary rules or processes or in conflict with his oath of office, then sure, suspend him. But to suspend him because he's asking for the president to be held accountable is quite bizarre for me and speaks to the politics of personality. And I know people would argue that, well, the people that even leaked this audio have their own ulterior motives. Of course. But that does not mean that we must discard this and not scrutinize what the president says and try understand why he said it. Right? We had the spokesperson of the ANC presidency on this show in December to come and give context to that clip. So go check out the podcast. I wasn't convinced of his answers. You can listen to the podcast and make up your own mind. But we must be guided by principle and consistency when we look at these things. Yes, some people may argue that Mervyn Dex has been a problem, maybe a loose cannon like some have called him. In 2017, I remember, he failed to collapse the state capture debate in Parliament. At some point, he called Phumzile Fandam a stratmat, right, a prostitute. He celebrated on Twitter recently that Ramaphosa contracted COVID-19, right? He referred to MPs as dogs at some point, and he got disciplined for that. You could argue that he's anti-Cyril Ramaphosa, but so what? Does it mean then you don't do the investigation? I think this is politics of personality, and the fact that the NWC of the ANC, in which the president sits, actually said there must be a disciplinary hearing against Mervyn Dex, for me, is quite problematic. What do you think? 17 after 9.
Voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clements Manyatela.
On 702.
20 minutes after 9 o'clock. Modise, you're in Pretoria. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement.
So, Modise.
Clement, having listened to the clip, I believe that the president has to account. He has to go to SCOPA because this is public funds which were used by ANC not for public purposes but for their own gain. So in the spirit of transparency, which ANC has been preaching, the president must open up and go and account and also name those people that have used state funds for campaigning for ANC elections. Thanks.
All right, Modise in Pretoria. Thanks, Opa. You're in Protea in Soweto. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, sir. I think Ramaphosa must stop playing games with his clique. Yeah? What they did to Themba Maseko by Zuma and his clique, he's doing the same thing to Defno. Who's fooling whom here? Public mind, taxpayers' mind. We wake up 3 a.m. We come back late in the evening at home, paying tax for this tax. As Thabo Mbeki said, please. Mbalula said, I'm a seller. Among themselves, who are those criminals? Who do they think are doing to the South African economy? They've destroyed all the state-owned enterprises. They've increased the number of unemployment. They don't take care of the youth. But the state, listen to the statement that Ramaphosa has just released now, that was played on TV about 2 minutes ago. He's admitting all this mess. Let him go to SCOPA and be answerable to the South African society.
All right, Oba in Protea in Soweto, thank you so much for your message. Someone says, Someone says, hi, Clement, regarding the clip that you played, let me tell you, anything that makes too much noise is about to break the ANC and it will fall and it's putting its own last nail on its coffin. Another person says, the ANC has a different dictionary. The definition of accountability, according to them, differs from that of the public. You know, we brought the spokesperson of the ANC presidency, Sibongile Basani, on the show last year to come and give context to that clip. Because, listen, whether you like it or not, and there's going to be many audio clips, stories that are going to be leaked ahead of December, that elective conference for the ANC. And obviously, as journalists, we need to be more cautious of what we run, right? Because some people are going to manipulate audio because they're trying to paint this candidate in a bad light, whatever the case is. In this instance, we wanted to get the context, right? Forget that the people who leak the audio have their own ulterior motives. Fine. But that's not our business. Our business here is that we are hearing the president suggesting that he knows, and many of his other ANC colleagues know, that there's money that is often used for campaigning to bus people that comes from the state. And he says in this audio he's more concerned about the image of the ANC. Not that it should surprise us. They've always been telling us, these ANC leaders, that the party comes first, right? But that's what he says. He says, I would rather people, in fact, his words are that, I would rather fall on my sword. I would rather people criticize me and says, CR, you got money from this person and that person, than for the country to know how their money, public money, was used to finance some political activities in the ANC. If the president of the country says that, my goodness, that is so problematic. And I wasn't convinced when his spokesperson in the ANC came to try and justify and clarify what the president was trying to say. You can hear in his own words, and the least the president can do is to subject himself before SCOPA, if it's within, right, the mandate of SCOPA to investigate. Or he can provide the information that he may have to SCOPA, and they can take it from there. But what does the ANC do? They suspend the person just because he is anti-CR17, well, now it's going to be CR2024. Just because this person is anti-Cyril Ramaphosa, is in probably in the RET faction, he's calling for accountability on that basis of who he's aligned to. They decide to, what, suspend him? I don't know if I think that's the best approach to take. Let's listen to your voice notes on 072-702-1702.
Hello, Clement. It's Christopher Mkoba from Deep Sloop speaking. I think that guy who was suspended by the ANC, they did the right to suspend him. Maybe it's him who leaked that audio. And that audio was just that statement that was leaked, that no one here knows exactly what he meant when he said that. So I think that guy, he may be one of the people who leaked that statement. So we don't need people like that or in the ANC. So yeah, he must go.
So one day, let's say one day someone leaks, who's a fave in the ANC? Who's seen as the good person in the ANC right now? So let's put President Cyril Ramaphosa aside. Yeah, let's say someone leaks information about Naledi Pandor. That Naledi Pandor stole millions of taxpayers' money, or Naledi Pandor has always known about money that's leaving the state, right? And is benefiting ANC leaders and ANC campaigns. Is the conversation then going to be about the person who leaked that information and why they leaked it? Fine, you can follow your own processes as a political party if that is in violation of whatever, social media policy or confidentiality. Follow those processes. But that doesn't mean us as a country must not scrutinize the responsibility that this minister has and the failures in her fiduciary duties. That doesn't limit us. So we must have these conversations. And I think it's just the wrong approach to take as a party, right, to discard even the allegations that people are making on the basis that they are aligned to a particular faction. What the president is saying in that clip is so problematic on so many levels. And the least you can do, and if really you are the proponent of transparency and accountability, go and account. If you've got nothing to hide, go and explain what you meant in that audio.
Morning, Clement. What I find even more interesting about that clip from Ramaphosa is that he mentions that we all know. So yeah. It's not just him. Who else was at that meeting? And they all know. It's just yet another sign that the corruption and the rot is all the way through, even at Ramaphosa's level. If he's prepared to put party before state, he needs to go. He's lost my support.
Hi, Clem. Listening to the clip by the leaked clip, I get disturbed. Considering how many people are suffering, we pay tax all the time and our money is being used for political campaigns. This is disturbing, very, very disturbing. And now the member is being suspended because he wants us to know the truth. But Lindiwe Sisulu is not being suspended. Instead, the president is handling her with the kiss gloves. Sharp Anonymous in Johannesburg.
Good morning, Clement. Clement, I have to agree with you. Yes, I believe that whether there's a motive for all of this, it doesn't matter. The most important thing is that there are questions that need to be answered, and the president need to take us into his confidence, come out and explain what he meant by all of that, so that everyone else can account for whatever they say. Kennedy Njube.
All right, Kennedy, thank you. Matume, you're in Pretoria. Good morning.
Hey, all right,
I'm right. Monate, how are you doing?
I'm okay, thanks. I believe, man, Ramaphosa was talking politics on that audio. He was not addressing that the nations. He was playing a political game, and he beat his enemies on their game, and like they are now sending the clip. But I don't think it's fair for us like to fish around the political things. Even though, like, what if he comes out and saying, no, he was lying to those guys so that they cannot beat. Like he was answering the question directly to those guys. Like it was mainly politics.
Well, what game is he playing, Matume? I would like him to come, in fact, and explain. Because I would like to ask him pointed questions and say, when you say we all know here that public funds have been used to advance campaigns in the ANC, what did he actually mean by that? When he says, I would rather fall on my sword than for the public to know that their money has been spent to advance other campaigns. What did he mean by that? What kind of political game is that?
But remember, like we don't really know the exact context of the whole conversation that they were having. But like, it's more like, what if he was kind of blackmailing them? Remember, we have assumptions that Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, well, Zuma was campaigning for her. Like we have the assumption, even if we don't have the proof, but we believe that somehow Zuma was stealing the money from other departments for her to win.
Let's quickly play devil's advocate. Just quickly, I'm late for news. I'll let you go now, Matume. Let's say, the president, Shem, there's no context here. What context, according... Oh, Matume is gone. What context, according to you guys, if you think maybe the president is taken out of context, just come up with any hypothetical context here to justify why the president would use the words that he used. The only justification I have is that he was lying to the NEC members. That's the only. Otherwise, give me a hypothetical context. Tell me why the president would use the words and say, I would rather I fall on my sword than for the public to know how money is being used to advance ANC campaigns. Huh? Where he says, I would rather that than the state security agency. There's evidence that's revealed there that shows how campaigns are being advanced by money from the state. Come on, come up with any hypothetical context. I'll take your calls after the latest in Eyewitness News headline.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
24 before 10 o'clock. Let's go to Tsepo in Everton. Tsepo, good morning.
Hi, how are you, Clement?
Good, good. How are you doing? What do you want to say on the open line this morning?
Clement, you know, I've got a problem with people like Banyaza Lesufi. You see, Banyaza Lesufi, he knows why these teachers or this head of schools are being murdered. It's because that I'm taking this case now. This Banyaza Lesufi in Gauteng is the only, the Gauteng province is the only Gauteng province that, South African province that has got tenders in the school system, whereby there are textbooks that are being tendered by this department. Now, these principals are the ones who are giving away these tenders. Now they come back again now. They are hitting these principals because they are giving it to their friends and to their colleagues. Now, when Banyaza Lesufi says they don't have funds to dispatch, to give it to other institutions, he was talking lies this morning. I was listening to him.
Okay, what do you mean? Well, hold on, Sabo. I want to understand. You're talking about textbook, money to institutions. Are we talking about security? Or
no, it's not. You know what? It's about the tenders that there are tenders that are being given to the individuals by the principals from the Department of Education in Gauteng.
Okay, so the Department of Education is giving tenders to institutions to provide what? Textbooks?
To provide textbooks.
Okay.
Now, these people, the principals are the ones that are dispatching these tenders to those people. Now these tenders, there are people who are fighting the principals within those schools who want those tenders. Sometimes we find that another tender is given to somebody and somebody is doing this. Now they are killing these people each other. If you remember that in around Gauteng, there are more than two principals that have been murdered. This is it's about the tenders that are being dispatched to other people around there.
Yeah, and then you're saying these tenders are only in Gauteng. Tsepo, how? How do other provinces get their textbooks then?
They are supplied by the provider. They are not supplied. There's no what we call a middleman. Yeah, in Gauteng, there's a middleman who is supplying those tenders.
Okay, so what you're saying is the education department is in Gauteng, is spending money on institutions that provide the schools with textbooks, as opposed to go directly to the organizations that sell those textbooks. And now they will argue that they don't have money for security, and that's why you're seeing some principals, deputy principals being killed in the province. Am I getting you right there?
Those principals, yes, you are getting me right. Those principals are the ones who are rendering those tenders to individuals. And you find out you have people who are fighting for those tenders within the community.
Okay, but also, Tsepo, it's not only in Gauteng where teachers are being gunned down. In Cape Town, last year there was a teacher that was gunned down. In the Northwest, there was a maths teacher that was gunned down. In KwaZulu-Natal, there was a teacher that was gunned down. And so the security is not just... So in other words, it's not just the people in this province that are being killed. Yes. It's other teachers and principals in other provinces.
Yes, but you consider that Gauteng, it's got a higher number of principals who have been assassinated than other provinces. There in KZN and other provinces, you find that it's only one, but in Gauteng, there are more than two.
Mm.
What does it tell you?
Okay, Tsepo, let's put it out there. Tsepo says the problem we're seeing this is because that it's basically the tender system. The principals are the one, and I just need to confirm that because I don't know for sure if that's how it works in the education system in this province, where it's the principals that are issuing out these tenders to these middlemen who then provide textbooks to the schools. If you work in the education sector, is that really what's happening? Please give me a call, or if you're in the education department, so that we clarify that. I can't say for sure that's how it's done. But the point I'm getting at is this is a fight about tenders. That's what Tsepo is arguing. And the second point here is that Banyaza Lesufi, that's why he's now arguing that there's no money for even security. I was reading in the Soweto newspaper that the MEC says there's no budget for security, and that's due to just the salary bill. So 80% of the money that the education department in this province has goes to the salaries of teachers, and then they're left with about 20% that is used to build schools, to buy stationery, and also pay for water and lights. And even the MEC indicated that they used to have teachers who've, not teachers, but members of the community who volunteered their services to secure schools, but they were taken to court by an association of security guards in South Africa who argued that you need a security company to be guarding the school. So you don't have volunteers anymore. And I was just thinking, my goodness, remember that 431 million rand that was wasted in sanitizing empty schools? How much of that would have helped in providing some security to some schools?
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
Spiwe, you're calling from Soweto. Good morning.
Morning, Clement. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I need to clear something. The principal can never be alone as far as dishing out money for tenders or for the needs of the school.
Mm-hmm.
For an example, the department, there are schools that are paying fee, there are schools that are not paying fee. That are paying fee, some are not paying. So the Department of Education will allocate money to the school. And that money is ring-fenced. There's money for LTSM, and there's money for day-to-day, money for maintenance. So there will be a team that is formed amongst the teachers, amongst the governing body. Then they'll identify the needs of the school. Then the principal will also be there. It's not going to be a principal that will decide alone or take the money and give it to other people. So it's wrong if they say the principal take out money and give to friends.
Yeah.
They sit as a team and decide who, and they'll need 3 coats.
Yeah.
Cheaper out of these 3 coats. Then they give the person that is cheaper. Or sometimes I might be expensive, but I come up with some incentives. I tell the school that I'll build them maybe let's say it's a primary. I'll build something where the learners will play. Then they'll take me. But
okay.
To say the principal alone,
yeah,
the one that's dishing out tenders, no, it's wrong.
So the power doesn't reside mostly with the principal's office. There are other players involved, and the principal is not the one with the bigger power here to decide where the tenders are going to.
Yes.
All right, I've got you. Spiwe in Soweto, thank you so much for calling us. And if you're wondering why we're talking about this, this is after, the MEC, Panyaza Lisufi, visited this school in Tembisa where the deputy principal was gunned down at the entrance of the school. It's really just a tragic, tragic, tragic story. I think even the education minister was at that school in Tembisa today. So really, that's where MEC Lisufi made these remarks when he was visiting that school. Let's go to Pretoria now. Freeman, hi.
Hey,
Tada.
Yes, I want to be brief. I think if you call the MEC in to explain their position on this matter, they'll clarify things better. But what I wanted to just emphasize is the fact that within the schooling system in Gauteng, there's a committee. So, for example, you'll have the principal and you'll have members of the FGB, and then one of them will be a treasurer general, for example. And so they oversee that tendering process. And then it's for anything and everything. For example, if a school needs to be paved, there'll be a tender. If there's suddenly more space required and they need chairs because there's social distancing, there'll be a tender. So I think that is what is causing us problems. But it needs someone with the PFNA knowledge to come and explain it in detail. I just thought I'd emphasize that.
Freeman, do you know why that activity rests within the school? I mean, isn't there, I don't know, a solution here that can be thought of to try and centralize that at the regional, you know, the regional education sector, whether it's the provincial education department or it's the regional department, so that you then start to minimize the tensions that may occur as a result of respective schools being the ones that are responsible for the for these tenders and issuing them?
Well, it would need people that are managing the processes, because the Public Finance Management Act makes provision for that. The only problem is that when you centralize these processes and you find, for example, you've got a school needing 50 chairs, if it's centralized, then it takes more than 90 days, it takes over 120 days. Meanwhile, the learners are cramped there, and you know the situation with the COVID, for example. That is just one example of where it doesn't work well, and it only is efficient when you localize it. But now that it's causing problems, I suppose we need to find another way of dealing with it.
Yeah, I think probably that should be the case, because my goodness, we're going to continue seeing this kind of violence. I see we've got Mpendulo calling us from Soweto, who is an SGB member. Mpendulo, thanks for calling us. Do you just try and explain to us how these tenders in schools operate?
Good morning, Leslie Manyatele. Oh, Clement.
Good morning, Mpendulo.
Yes.
Leslie's no more.
You know these tenders about the textbooks and stationery, that.
Yeah.
You find that, like myself as an SGB member, you find that they've been in existence there with the principal knowing, maybe with the deputy principal and some members of staff who are part of the HODs. And then you find that as new members of the SGB, or there are some SGB members who are newly elected, they don't know how these things run. You find that maybe there's someone who comes with they put offers to the schools before, like, let's say, in September, October, to deliver stationery for the schools. And you find that these people have got reasonable prices or things like that, and they're automatically turned down. And then you find the same supplier is still coming to the school, and you find that these prices are highly inflated within the schools. That's why you end up having teachers fighting among themselves. You find that maybe the principal fighting with the deputy, because the deputy has got somebody who can deliver for the school at a much lesser price.
Oh, but sure.
You see what I mean?
So are you suggesting, Mpendulo, that in some instances the principals are in cahoots with other institutions or businesses that can offer these tenders, and when the principal loses the power to be the ones that suggests or brings in their own people, then that's where the tensions may arise?
Yes, that's where the tensions arise, because most of the time you find that the principal is working in the same office with the Beza or the school clerk.
Yeah. So Mpendulo, isn't it then best to centralize this at regional or provincial level?
Things are done because the minister just is like the subsidy for the school. Is given to the school, and you are told that the school governing body, our subsidy for this coming year is so much. And remember that money, if it's not all spent, it reverts back to the Department of Education. So that money must be allocated to the school governing body, and the principal and the whoever is concerned must make a school plan that this amount is going to be used for this, this amount for repairing this, for this, for this, for this. You see what I mean?
Sure.
So for the textbooks, it becomes a problem. That's why if you see some of these principals being short at school, or deputy principals being short at school, it's things like that.
Yeah. Yo, Mpendulo, thank you for calling and providing us with that context. I'll continue with more of your calls and WhatsApp voice notes after this.
Your voice,
your station,
your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
It's 7 minutes before 10 o'clock. Your voice notes are coming through on 072-702 and 702.
Because good morning, 702 and the listeners. About the caller who was just on air about textbooks. In general, there are two schools. There are schools that are supplied everything by the government, but they will choose whatever they want. The government will take from their budget, and then they'll give them the textbooks and the stationery and all those. And then there are schools that are given money and they decide on how to, what and when, how to buy textbooks and stationery, laptops and all those things. I think the caller is referring to those ones, but the central procurement, and then there is those ones that buy for themselves. I think they're divided between Section 21 and Section 22. I don't know which is which.
No, I wonder though, what's the rationale behind allowing the schools or giving them that latitude to decide on where the money goes? If, I mean, do they not foresee that these are the kind of problems you would experience? So what's the best way to deal with this? Is it better to have government as the supplier or to centralize this tender system at a regional or provincial level? Or does it work better when it's the schools themselves that decide where the money is going, where to purchase these textbooks? Because there could very well be a good reason for it. Perhaps that when it's government that it's the supplier, there's delay in getting the textbooks to the school. But if the schools take a central role in being the ones that go after these institutions that provide the books, then the system is much smoother in that way. I wonder which options then is much better.
Yo, Clem, I think you're just being dramatic, man. That audio is actually from an audition that President Ramaphosa did for a brand new movie. It's about a star in, it's called Wag the Dog 2. So don't be dramatic.
That's in reference to the audio I played of Cyril Ramaphosa. Obviously, DJ Fresh there being sarcastic. But yeah, eh? It's only the 25th of Jan, everybody. Buckle up! We still have about, how many months to go? 11. Gilbert, you're calling from Mulder's Drift. Good morning.
Morning, Clement.
Sure.
Clement, I just want to chip in on this matter of the deputy principal or the principal being murdered in the school.
Yes, please.
I'm part of the SGB in a certain school in Mulder's Drift. And apparently, this system works so nice, the tendering thing. The issue is now, if you have crooked elements in the system, that's the problem. But then with us, let me tell you with us what we do.
Yeah.
We sit down as the SGB, including probably the deputy principal or the principal, sit down, invite, send the requisition out, then invite people to tender. Then from there, we sit down again and then do the sifting. We look for the cheapest guy who says he is going to provide maybe LTSM for us. And then we go with the cheapest guy. The process is fair, transparent. Anyone can come and see. And then from there, everybody is happy. So the SGB consists of the parents. So we represent the parents. And the process is not flawed at all. So there is nobody who is going to go around and... say, no, such a guy was supposed to have got the tender. Because it is fair and clear, we go for the cheapest price.
Yeah.
But the problem comes in when maybe the principal, deputy principal, has got his own interest, and then he's got his own guy. Then if that is the kind of setup which is going to happen, then that's where you will have people now looking at each other as if they don't know each other, and then from there, ulterior motives then start developing. But otherwise, this process works perfect.
Yeah, so in some schools it works better. Gilbert, just quickly, is it best when it's done this way, purchasing of textbooks, for instance, is it better to have the school be the one that's responsible, or is it better to rely on government to supply those textbooks?
It's better for the school to handle this process because we as the school, we know, we work with the school management team, we know exactly what we need. As the other guy initially said earlier on to say, for example, you need a certain number of chairs immediately or on an emergency basis.
Ah, I see. So it does work in that instance. That answers my question. Thank you so much, Gilbert, for calling. He's also a member of the SGB. Yee, you calling from Centurion. You are a principal.
Hello, I was a principal.
Yeah.
Yeah, Clement, the process is worked very well when it's conducted by the school governing body. The principal is part of the school governing body, and he cannot or she cannot do that alone. Coming to centralization, I think more than 10 years or 15 years ago, when the process started, it was centralized. The same allegations came. I remember I was in a meeting where the minister was accused of giving those tenders to their children, to their families and everything. So the governing bodies and the principals association fought, and the process was given to the schools. And from what I see, it worked very well. The centralization was done at first, and I thought it was fought, and it was given to the schools, and it worked very well because it is a prerogative of the school governing body, not the principal alone.
Yeah.
And especially that the policy says that the treasurer of the committee must be a parent. So there's no way the principal can take a decision alone.
Yeah.
We have a database of service providers from the department. The schools need to choose from that database.
Yeah.
So if they are directed by policy. So principal cannot do that alone. And I'm worried about the statement of PEPO to say principals are being killed because of that, something that has not been proven.
Yeah.
So it might be misleading to say principals are killed because of that. Right now, the principal is the one who becomes part of the SGB, and the teachers choose their teacher component, their reps.
Yeah. I'm out of time, but I think you've made the point there. Thank you so much for calling. Yee was a school principal there. And it looks like the reason they decentralized this process, especially from national provincial level, is because there was corruption. Now it's at the schools. There are some principals that may want their own people. We have a pandemic of corruption in this country.